Pat Uribe Licte writes, "We gather. We bring our sorrows, our disappointments, our failures. We gather for healing, for laughter, and to rejoice. We gather to find new ways of loving, new ways of thinking, new ways of being. We gather, yes, always we gather, for it is in gathering that we find our hope." Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on the journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website, where you can get all sorts of information about the church and sign up for the link. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way has meaning for you. We have the playground down front, lovingly staffed nursery care. Good morning to the nursery. And we have Sunday school after the word for all ages. I have four announcements, all of which are food related. I think that says a lot about this community. Are you ready? The first is we have Lunch Bunch this Thursday, January 16th at 12:30 in the vestry. You can bring your lunch. We always have lots of extra snacks and share community. That's this Thursday, Lunch Bunch. And then this Saturday is the lasagna dinner for a fundraiser for West Virginia. Awesome food prepared by, Coach Bob, Chef Bob, also Coach. But the deadline to order is this Wednesday, January 15th. So if you want lasagna, when do you have to order it by?
Wednesday.
All right, so we got Lunch Bunch, we got lasagna dinner. And then next Monday, it's our turn to serve at Open Door. This is a community meal, a free community meal. It's our turn to serve. Kirsten, what's the menu? Pork tenderloin is what we are serving for Open Door on January 20th. So see Kirsten, do you mind raising your hand if you would like to get more information or to help sign up? And the fourth thing is, you notice that we switched. Those first two things, Lunch Bunch and the lasagna dinner, were ways to serve ourselves, to feed ourselves, which is truly important. But then the other two are about how we feed others. The Open Door is a community meal where we make sure our neighbors have food, and it's also time for the Super Bowl.
Okay, you probably have been like disconnected since the Patriots have not been that good the last couple years, but the Super Bowl is coming up in 4 weeks, so that means we're gonna do our annual Super Bowl, S-O-U-P-E-R, all right? It's the Penguins versus the polar bears, and it's a food drive. There's there's a link there. You go there, you can purchase goods. We're benefiting A Place to Turn this year, the food pantry up on Hartford Street. We've talked to them. They've given us a list of goods that they're most interested in, and that's what's for sale. So if you live north of 135, if you live this way, you're a polar bear. If you live that way, you're a penguin. If you're confused, just sign up as a penguin.
And throughout the four quarters of the Super Bowl, we will be bringing you updates. As we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your mind, body, and spirit. Deepening your breath. Relaxing your shoulders, even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him, but they didn't know who he was, so they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light that was once in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times. Let us welcome the light."
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Lane. Please join me in the call to worship. Your response is, we are welcome, just as we are. Come, you beloved children of God. With all your bruises and brokenness.
We are welcome just as we are.
Ready for repair and renewal.
We are welcome just as we are.
Come close to God and each other.
We are welcome just as we are.
Our opening hymn is number 18. It is Praise to the Living God. You are invited to rise in body or in spirit. Our centering prayer this morning is by Tamara Labak. We begin with a bit of silence. In the quiet, notice where your thoughts go. Do you start to think about lunch, or how nice it is to sit still for a minute? Or do you start to think about all your mistakes and regrets? Wherever your thoughts go, it's okay. Let us pray. Holy One, who has given us the breath of life, today we remember to breathe deeply, to rest, to take in, to pause before we act, and then to take in another deep breath poised on the edge, and risk jumping in, risk taking action, risk speaking up, risk using the gifts we have been given. So that at the end of our life, we can say with absolute clarity that no part of our existence was wasted in fear of failure or fear of success. Be with us in our awakened presence, full of love and light today, as we seek to follow the way of the one who taught us to pray, saying, O love that is so clear and present in the life of Jesus, in his relationship with the oppressed, holy is your manifestation. May your love spread so that we may one day see what creation was created to be. May you sustain us as we work for justice and help us remember that the struggle is long and the costs are often high. May you inspire us to be patient as we encounter resistance. Remind us of the holiness of all people. May you help us continue to raise up the voices of the oppressed despite often strong opposition from the powerful. For you will continue to overcome time and time again until one day all people will realize your power and you will have to overcome no more. Amen.
We need to share God's peace with each other. We need things like peace and hope to be contagious, spreading from person to person. But we don't need to spread cold germs. So, it's not a laughing matter. So, in this flu season, you might skip the handshake or the hug and opt for a wave or an elbow bump instead. Thankfully, and as far as the CDC has said, God's peace doesn't require direct contact, but spreads through everything we say and do and are. On site and online, we'll pass a hands-off peace, then sing our song of celebration. Oh, that's right. That's me, one. God's peace be with you.
very bittersweet right now to be singing anthems with Tom. He does such a wonderful job leading us, and we know we just have a few more weeks with him. Our scripture reading this morning is the lectionary selection from the Hebrew Bible. This is from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah is writing to people who are suffering. Most likely, at the times these verses were written, the Israelites were in exile and had been for generations. They were wrestling with the idea of returning to Jerusalem. Should they go back to their spiritual home, even though it was no longer familiar? Or should they stay in exile in Babylon, where they were foreigners and treated as such, but they'd made lives for themselves? And no doubt, do we stay or do we go was not all that they were dealing with. Somebody had been feeling sick for months and nothing helped. Somebody else had fallen asleep on the job and wolves had gotten half the sheep. One woman was fighting with family over money. One guy had tried to start a business and failed. The prophet Isaiah is called to tell people who are struggling, suffering, and scared that God is with them. Thousands of years later, we still need the promise that God is with us in our struggles. And yet some parts of this message can be jarring to us today. For example, the prophet talks about walking through fire without being burned. And this week in particular, when so many people in California have lost their homes and lives to fire, that can just strike us as very wrong. This passage even talks about God exchanging other people as a ransom for us, as if we are in some kind of a holy prisoner exchange. This is when it's important to remember that the Bible is full of people just like us, wrestling with and reflecting on their relationship with God. That's what they're doing when they're writing these passages. They are wrestling with and reflecting on their relationship with God. And so sometimes the words that have come down to us say more about the human writers than the God we seek to know. But the core message is still the same. God loves you no matter what.
Hear these words from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. But now thus says the Lord, the one who created you, O Jacob, the one who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you, I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. May these ancient words bring God closer to us today.
Children of all ages are invited to lean in for a word for all ages. Were any of you here on Christmas Eve? Yeah, a lot of you were here. It was a wonderful service, wasn't it? There were readings and candlelight and music. You might not remember, but I had a big coughing fit near the end. I wasn't feeling good. And then I talked too much, and I just couldn't help it. I couldn't stop coughing. I was so embarrassed. I thought about it for days. how everybody saw me struggling, how I had like messed up Christmas, how people must have thought I was so unprofessional, so bad at my job. Then I had a little conversation with God, and God told me to get over it. Have you ever felt like you messed up? Who has broken a favorite toy? Anybody? Yeah, we got some hands over there. How about somebody else's favorite toy? Who has tried out for something and not gotten in, like a sports team or a play? Is that, yeah. Who has forgotten to do their homework? We won't talk about Lincoln sleeping through an exam at the end of the semester. Who has hurt a friend's feelings? Okay, really. Who has hurt a friend's feelings? Okay, thank you. Lane, put your hand up. or yelled at their mom. I yelled at my mom once. I'm still kind of not over it. Yeah. Okay, is there anybody in the room or online who has not messed up? Checking the crow's nest. Yep, not seeing any hands anywhere. Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. Because we need to have what authors Brad and Christy Montague called a fail-abration. At a fail-abration, we celebrate the brave things we've tried, we talk about how we've struggled, and we tell each other that we are not alone. We're all learning, we're all growing, and we cannot be afraid to fail. Of course, we want to try our best, but we don't want to worry about messing up so much that it keeps us from trying at all. Amen? Amen? Messing up is part of being human. Another amen? Amen? Messing up is part of doing new things and just part of creating something new. Just remember, those of you in person, look around here, online, you can just look at me. We are a community of people who have failed. And we gather to remind each other that God loves us even in the midst of that failure. So let's send our kids to Sunday school with a blessing. God who loves us, mistakes and all, remind your beautiful children that failing is part of life and help us when we mess up to love ourselves. Amen. Amen. Have a great day in Sunday school. Our second reading this morning is called A Blessing for Risk Takers and Failures by Robin Tanner. They write, today we share in a blessing for losers, risk takers, all failures far and wide. Blessed are they who fall in the mud, who jump with gusto and rip the pants, who skin the elbows and bruise the ego, for they shall know the sweetness of risk. Blessed are they who make giant mistakes, whose intentions are good, but impact has injured, who know the hot sense of regret and ask for mercy, for their hearts will know the gift of forgiveness. Blessed are they who have seen a D or an F or a C or any letter less than perfect, who are painfully familiar with the red pen and the labels of less than, for they know the wisdom in the imperfect. Blessed are they who try again, who dust off, who wash up, who extend the wish for peace, who return to sites of failure, who are dogged in their pursuit, for they will discover the secret to dreams. Blessed are they who refuse to listen to the naysayers, for their hearts will be houses of hope. Blessed are they who see beyond the surface of another, for they will be able to delight in the gift of compassion. Blessed are they who stop running the race to help a fellow traveler, who pick up the fallen, who stop for injured life, for they shall know the kindness of strangers. Blessed are they who wildly, boldly abandon winning, for they shall know the path of justice. Amen. So let's imagine a new sort of resume. Highlights include cut from baseball team junior year, soccer senior. Needed 3 tries to pass driver's test. Only got into safety college. Dumped by 4 girlfriends in a row. Did not get job in chosen field for almost a decade. Then hated it. I know the BRAC Career Development Center at Natick Service Council would never let a client write a resume like that, but maybe they should. I think it would be way more informative than the standard resume that just lists accolades and identifies our greatest weakness as caring too much rather than has a hard time meeting deadlines. The alternative resume gives a picture of a candidate who does not give up, who knows how to deal with disappointment, who has learned that sometimes the first path isn't the best one. These are strengths, not weaknesses, right? I know the alternative resume doesn't stand a chance. We live in a society that is deeply invested in the appearance of perfection and achievement. We express our limitations and failures to only the extent that we can turn them into kind of humble brags. I didn't get to the gym all week last week because we were so busy driving Xavier to the state championship, stuff like that. I mean, maybe that's a little extreme for the folks within the sound of my voice, but can we at least agree that there is a little pressure, especially in predominantly white, suburban, educated, middle-class society, to do and look and get everything right? Just resonating? Yeah. But of course, we are human, and at some point, the veneer cracks. We deeply hurt someone's feelings, or blow the project, or lose the money, we get fired, or addicted, or weighed down by depression. And the failure's too big to hide, and we feel vulnerable and exposed, as well as isolated and alone. Now, for many of us, or at least me, just about any failure is terrifying. Oh, we got some others out there, yeah. I, for one, spent much of my life trying to avoid failure by any means possible, like I was allergic to it. But it doesn't work, because failure comes anyway, and the cost of trying to avoid failure is too high. More on the cost in a minute. So I think we need to fail forward. Failing forward means we aren't afraid to fail. We practice failing in lots of small ways, building the muscles of resiliency, strengthening our knowledge that our value comes not from what we achieve, but from our innate worth. But in case you aren't convinced, I have 3 reasons for why we need to practice failing. First, avoiding failure keeps us from stretching and growing. So recently a friend was talking with Paul and me about his new job, how much he likes it and how productive he feels. But he believes that soon the tasks of the job will extend beyond his skill set, and he wondered aloud if he would then need to find something else. His wife promised him that she had never felt equipped upon taking a job. She learned the job over time. If she felt she had to be proficient at a job before taking it, she'd still be in her first position. Did she get things wrong along the way? She sure did, but that was part of the learning process. If we aren't ever missing the mark, then we might just be playing it too safe. Which leads to my 2nd reason to practice failing. The world needs our failures. Well, maybe not our failures, per se, but the world is dealing with really important, complicated problems, from devastating climate change to toxic polarization to economic inequality to destructive bias related to gender, race, and sexual identity. We need creative and innovative approaches to these challenges, and the first 50 or so might not make the slightest difference. We need to keep moving through possible solutions, learning from what doesn't work, and trying again. Which means the only way to get to the answer is through failing again and again. We need to be okay with failing. The world depends on it. But so do our own lives. The third reason to practice failing is that accepting the little failures help us cope when bigger failures strike. Embracing our imperfection day in and day out means we don't build a false sense of self that is destroyed when things fall apart. This might be part of the anxiety that plagues so many of us. We think we need to be perfect. We've tried so hard to be perfect. We've been so close to perfect that when it becomes clear that we're not perfect, we're not sure we have any worth at all. I believe this is one of the greatest values of a faith community, a place where we can safely fail and still belong, a place where we can name our failures and begin again, a place that reminds us our value is not based on getting everything right, a place where we can stretch and experiment, building muscles of resilience and renewal. So you might notice I don't generally include a prayer in worship that is labeled prayer of confession. I have lots of thoughts about these specific sorts of prayers, and I'm happy to discuss them with you further. But you might notice that in most of our worship services, in one way or another, there is room to reflect on how we've screwed up and where we've gotten things wrong. Because this hour together, if nothing else, should be a reminder that God loves our beautiful, broken selves. And so it is safe to be honest here, to name to God, each other, and ourselves that we have failed again and again. Not to punish ourselves or practice self-flagellation, but to remind each other that we are more than the mistakes we make, that we bear the divine spark within us, and there is nothing we can do that will separate us from the love of God. Here we name the ways in which we have failed, and we make sure we each hear God's response. It's okay. Try again. You are loved. So we're just a few weeks into the new year. How many of you made New Year's resolutions? Oh, that's a lot of hands. The second Friday in January, just 2 days ago, is sometimes called Quitter's Day. Because by then, most people who made New Year's resolutions have broken them. Well, that is a terrible setup. That's just a bad idea in the first place. If you made resolutions and they're working for you, great, keep on keeping on. But maybe if we're going to resolve anything, we should commit to failing more in the year ahead. In a world that tells us we can be perfect if we just buy this product, take this course, or change this habit, to practice failing is a revolutionary act. But that doesn't make it easy. Thankfully, we have a God who has promised to be with us, even especially in our failures. The same God who was present for the ancient Israelites, despite the ways they screwed up time and time again, is present with us here and now. That God says to us, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. You are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. Amen." Thank you. as a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share yours aloud, and all are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org, and we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list in the bulletin. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? Paul? I did mention that Spencer got into grad school, but you are also allowed to be here when we mention that Spencer got into grad school. So the Worthington Berry family is having a very bittersweet weekend right now. Spencer is home for this weekend, so this is our oldest. We haven't seen him in 6 months, and he's home for this weekend, and then he goes back to Seattle, and then in June, he leaves for New Zealand for somewhere between 5 and 7 years, depending on how much he hates us in any one day, but we're super happy for him. Thanks, Paul. If there was another hand. Yeah, Sarah Beth.
Well, we found out Mom is ready to graduate, and we're not going next week, but the week after, we're going to go and see him graduate from basic training and move on.
And do you know where he's, is he staying in Texas after that?
Well, he is for the training.
Okay. All right. Sure. But going to be in the same place. So, Miles is ready to graduate from basic training. Woo! We are so happy for him and for his parents, and Sarah Beth and Peter are heading down to see him in just over a week, so they'll get to see him graduate, they'll get to see where he is right now and where he's going to be for his next stretch of training, and they will take all our love with them. Yay! Heather. Heather is sharing the joy, lifting up those people in our lives who create the environment where it is safe to fail. And maybe at some point we had to have a conversation about what are the characteristics of a space where it's safe to fail. Because as a mom, I'm not sure I always did that. There's another, Doug. So Doug is celebrating the beauty of the snow and the work of the Snow Brigade at FCC Natick, which we'll be talking about a little bit more in a minute, and that his granddaughter, 14 months old, is now doing the stairs. And so we need Sarah to get her knee fixed really fast so she can chase her up and down the stairs. Yeah. Thanks, Doug. Jeff. Would you like the mic? No, I'm just kidding. You failed what?
I failed to acknowledge it.
You're acknowledging it right now. Jeff's parents just celebrated 56 years of wedded bliss. What? So now Jeff can go to his parents and say, I just was waiting until Sunday when my entire congregation could send love to you in celebration of your love, Mom and Dad. So there you go, Jeff. You are forgiven. You are redeemed. And happy anniversary to your parents. And you have more? Okay. Did you replace all of them? Wow. We have some awesome photos in the lower vestry at FCC Natick, and Jeff has been swapping them out. So go see what artistry he has done in the lower vestry. Thanks, Jeff. Sarah Beth. So when Sarah Beth, so characteristics of making a space where it's safe to fail is sometimes counteracting, right? So Sarah Beth says to Peter that she has failed, and he says, but you're so pretty. So we're going to give him a few more things to use too, but that's a great start. Carolyn.
Thank you.
And these were folks who were dishonorably discharged. Why? Okay, so the DOD, the Department of Defense, has changed their policy. Back in the Don't Ask, Don't Tell era, people were dishonorably discharged from the military, as well as in other phases, because of their sexual orientation. Now the DOD has switched that. I know, this is our joy. I need this to continue. This is helping me so much. And so those folks will now be honorably discharged, which rights two wrongs, or helps to right two wrongs. One, as it should be, but also now they get access to veterans' benefits, which are life-saving. So thank you, Carolyn. Carolyn has a second joy. Carolyn is also lifting up the example of the life of Jimmy Carter. We celebrate all that he was. And again, we don't all have to be Jimmy Carter. It's okay, but remember, he was considered a failure as a president. Anyway, good, Carolyn, thanks. Other joys. Lane.
So I read it on the Facebook.
The Facebook? How old are you? Yes, Matt Carricker and his partner LaToya are now the head of Bethany House of Prayer, and they are very excited about all the opportunities this is going to mean for their ministry. A true joy. Thanks, Lane. And I just want to say, we have a lot of joys and concerns today, in part because the last few weeks we haven't had a chance to share them in the same way, so I have carved time in the service for this, so don't worry. Joys, yeah. June joys.
So we have two. One from Miriam Jennings. Hello from Chile. Prayers of joy as we have been able to accompany our family through difficult times and celebrating our 34th anniversary of our wedding in Chile, surrounded by family and friends. Grateful for our FCC community to which we will be returning this week, Miriam and Keith.
So we celebrate that Miriam and Keith have been able to celebrate their wedding anniversary in Chile. So Miriam's been also be able to be with her family and give them a time of connection and support. It's been a good visit for her.
Janet Levesque says, prayers for all those impacted by the LA fires, in particular O'Connor and O'Donnell families, two classmates of Kate's whose families both lost their homes.
We're going to hold that for a minute. We're not going to bum our joy out quite yet. We're going to keep going with our joys. Thank you, June. Thank you. More joys in the room. Jeanette.
A young member of our church, Jeff Darrow, has completed his basic training for the U.S. Coast Guard and is now stationed in Boston.
Oh, we celebrate that Jeff, someone who grew up in this congregation, has finished basic training in the Coast Guard and is now stationed in Boston. What a joy. Jeanette? So Nolan is going to NOAA. So we celebrate that Nolan is going to NOAA and all of these achievements of our young people. Thanks, Jeanette. Gail? It was a beautiful celebration of John Lilly's life a few weeks ago, and I'm really glad so many people from FCC Natick were able to be there. Marge is not here today, but we are grateful that her niece, Lana, had surgery to remove a brain tumor on December 30th, and it went well. This is something that they've been worried about as it's been approaching, so gratitude for that surgery going well. What concerns do you bring to this place today? So Pam.
I injured my operated leg and needed to be recovered before I have replacement surgery on my left knee. So prayers for healing for my right leg
So Pam injured the repaired knee that she just had surgery on, and she's anticipating surgery on the good knee, but she can't have surgery on the good knee unless the other knee heals. So we'll do a laying on of hands right after worship today for all the knees and shoulders and things. But Pam, that surgery is coming up at the end of this month. So we are praying for some fast healing for that knee. Thanks. Thanks, Pam. Jeff. So we are, as you heard from Janet's prayer, holding in our prayers all of those in California impacted by the wildfires. And we name these specific people because they stand in for all the people that we might not know personally, but we still care about. So Jeff has a friend, Tammy, who lives in Massachusetts, but her daughter, Ashley, and Ashley's wife, Veronica, are in the LA area. And Tammy hasn't heard from them in a few days, which again could just be because communications are down, but it's super stressful. Sarah Lynn's brother in Hollywood, the fire at one point was two blocks away from his house, so that family's been stressed. And we hear that from Janet's family as well, friends who've lost their houses. I promise I'll get right there in just a second. Also, we know that religious communities have been burned, including a UCC church in Altadena. So thinking about all the ways in which people's lives have been impacted. I think you have things relevant to this. So Deborah Mitchell's daughter from Black Lives Matter, her daughter Leah is in that same area. Thanks, Doug. Right. Okay. Oof. So in Kat's extended family, three members have lost their homes already. So again, and these stories are just going to continue. Lane and I have started conversation about, don't look scared, Lane, about outreach sending a contribution to support wildfire victims. So watch in the next week or so for an update about what we're gonna do in regard to that. Yeah. Okay. More concerns. Yeah, Sandy. Sandy is lifting up that we are on the other side of the longest night, and so tomorrow there'll be two more minutes of daylight than there was yesterday, and we need that. We need that light to keep breaking through in so many ways. And part of why we're doing all these concerns today is not because if you don't know about them, God isn't at work in what's happening, but in part it's so that we know that when we are connected about all these joys and all these concerns, our hearts work together to have an impact on our lives and in the world. So I'm going to go through some. Are you with me? So Marge's sister Anita died on December 22nd. Marge has recently come back from the funeral, but we've been praying for Anita for a while as she lost her husband a year ago and has been bedridden. And it was Anita's granddaughter, Lana, who had the brain tumor removed. So I just want us to take care of Marge. All right, as well, you know, Marge is asking for prayers for these family members, but Marge needs our love and support. Marge's brother, Chuck, continues to recover very slowly in rehab from infections. So Marge is just in that place of worrying about so many people right now. So we need to surround Marge with our love. Talking about fire, Maureen M's niece and partner lost their home to fire 2 days before Christmas, and the partner suffered burns on the hands. They live in Massachusetts. They live in Tingsboro, but they've lost their home, and so Maureen is and Bob are asking for prayers for them. Karen S, who is the Kentucky branch of FCC Natick, her stepmom Barbara died on January 1st. She was rapidly declining after living with Alzheimer's, but Karen asked that we continue to hold her dad in prayer. And again, for Karen, they've started going to another church, but we're still their church family in so many ways. And Mary, Neil F.'s sister, is living with melanoma, which is now at an advanced stage. She is embracing life in every way possible, but we hold in our prayers Mary, Neil, and the whole family. Faye, we're holding in prayer as she is dealing with a whole bunch of mysterious health symptoms right now that the doctors don't have a handle on, so sending our love to Faye. And Eric is having hip replacement on Wednesday, so we are holding Eric in our prayers for everything to go smoothly and for healing to happen promptly. What else is on your mind and heart today? June, do you have any more up there that I've missed? Okay. So there's a lot of blah, blah, blah in the news this week about, you know, what has God caused? Where is God in the midst of these things? I know. We know where God is. God is in the Mexican firefighters coming up to help put out fires. God is in World Central Kitchen showing up. God is in the people who are reaching out with money to help each other. God is in the prayers that we give. So this is not, our concerns are not about, oh my gosh, the world is falling apart. What are we going to do? God must be punishing us. It is believing that God is with us in this moment and that we together can be a source and a force for good and love. And so we come into a time of prayer to ground ourselves in God's presence so that whatever might come our way in the week ahead, we remember who we belong to and that we are beloved. Let us pray. Living God, sometimes we feel so bruised and broken. We might walk around looking completely normal to the rest of the world, but inside we're aching, bleeding, crying. The scars are numerous. The child will never have. The relationship that lies in tatters. The depression that clouds our every day. The crises of the world. Do you see all these wounds, God? Do you hear our cries, feel our pain? Are you with us in the valley? Are you with us in the long night? God, we come before you and each other today to hold up those people in our lives who are in need of healing. God, we come before you and each other today to hold up those places in our world that are in need of healing. God, we come before you and each other today to hold up those parts of ourselves that are in need of healing. Help us to be open to each other. Help us to care for each other. Help us to rest within your healing love. Amen. FCC Natick, we are grateful to Middlesex Bank for plowing and sanding our shared parking lot. But the steps and walkways are on us. So thank goodness for the Snow Brigade. These teams of volunteers keep their eyes on the skies and spring into action at the first sign of a snowflake. Snow Brigade members in the room, would you raise your hands, please, just so folks know? Look at that. They are out there in the cold and the dark. They shovel, they salt, they sand, and make sure folks can come into our building safe and sound. I had no clue it was even going to snow this weekend, but the Snow Brigade was on the job. And so as we participate in the spiritual discipline of the offering this morning, we do so with gratitude for the Snow Brigade. Thank you. God bless these gifts, and especially those who have given them, that they might know the ways in which they are your hands and feet in the world. Amen. Our closing hymn is Help Us Accept Each Other, but to the Aurelia tune. You may be seated. Beloved, we may be broken, we may be inadequate, we may be fallible, but we are full of love, we are full of light, we are full of God. Go in peace. Amen.